I'm withholding you on page 918. The we have the first thing, the Sfarnu, where he says something very interesting. He speaks about why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Klal Yisrael, Vayis'a b'Hashem bi l'manchem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry at me because of you. Now, it's ke'ilu mashma that it was the Avera, but it was Moshe's also. So Sfarnu says something interesting. Mipnei she'isim is'av l'kayim eschem ba, sh'latigu men l'olam, v'kvar nasa yodel z'aroysa. HaKadosh Baruch, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael because he knew if he would go into Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael would never go into Golus again. And therefore, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to go into Golus, so he couldn't let Moshe Rabbeinu in. It's brought down, I believe Nafsh Chaim also says it, if I'm not mistaken, that had Moshe Rabbeinu gone into Klal Yisrael, they never would have gone to Golus. I want to explain two nekudas about this. First of all, why would it be like that? And secondly, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not want it? So let's think about it a second. Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, as opposed to other Nevi'im, is absolute. In other words, other Nevi'im are written for a reason. It's Nitzricha, because God is doing Averis, they give Musa, they say punishments will come, the punishments don't have to come, because the Nevuah is sort of Al-Tanai, and it's not necessarily going to come for, it's not necessarily going to happen, the punishment. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is absolute, because Moshe Rabbeinu's pure Torah, and it's Torah Semes. So anything Moshe Rabbeinu does has a permanence to it. It says the Paraduma of Moshe Rabbeinu was eternal. It's that same nature of permanence. Now, why, in fact, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to let it happen? It says because he wanted them to go to Golos, he didn't let that happen. I think the answer is very similar to the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not let Adam eat from the Eitz HaChayim and remain living forever despite eating from Eitz HaDaas. If I can give a marshal for it, imagine you have a painting, a really, really beautiful painting, and then you spray some sort of coating on it, some sort of, you know, like plastic film on it, that will not let any dirt hit it and so on, and sort of make it permanent. You sort of laminate it in a way that it'll always stay. So that's a fantastic process. But if you have a speck of dirt on it and you try to laminate on top of that, you're eternalizing a speck of dirt. The same thing was true with Klal Yisrael and the going into Eretz Yisrael, or Adam Rishon eating for Eitz HaChaim. It's true that Eitz HaChaim would eternalize him, but once he was flawed, then eternalizing him is counterproductive. What you're doing is actually you're making his flaws permanent. So first we need to work out the problems, and then we can have you become permanent. Had Klal Yisrael gone to Moshe Rabbeinu to Saul, and it would have stayed permanent that way, and Klal Yisrael was flawed, they had avodah zarah elements, they had rejection of Eretz Yisrael elements, then they would be forever and ever doomed to a sort of a very crippled type of existence. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, they need to go in. So he found, quote-unquote, an excuse not to let Moshe Rabbeinu in. Okay, the next piece is Rabbeinu Bechaya. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, go up on top of the mountain, look around to the west, to the north, to the south, to the east, and look at everything, because you're not going to cross the Yarden. So there's a listing here of all of the different sides of the world, east, west, north, south. The Rebbeinu Bechaya is going to elaborate a bit. The Maharal speaks about it, uses the same type of theme in many places. That whenever we have something of that magnitude, like the different ruchos in the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world with a certain layout, and that layout is the big picture. And obviously, it's not just the mikra. The layout of four different sides is meant to be that way dafka, and each of the sides has in itself an angle of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an angle of some kesha to a person's avoda, and it starts. All of these things will find their most tangible aspect of it, something that's visible, and as we keep looking deeper into it, we realize some deeper manifestation. So now he's going to explain each one of these. The Maral also explains it many times, the name and the characteristics of each of these sides of the world. Lomatzino, so the Rechaz says, Lomatzino zichron aruchos betar b'sida echad. We never find all four ruchos, all four ruchos in one shot. Kilefam yaktim akosu rav mezach lekulon, or not in one shot, but you don't find it in one order. In other words, it's never the exactly same order. Kilefam yaktim akosu rav mezach lekulon. Sometimes east is first. And brings a pasuk in Iyov. V'zeh aser aroy keim ratzufas yishas mizach matzav hundar, and that has in itself a certain validity, and the fact that you take the two axes east west north south. Lefamim yachdim ma'ir lekulon. Sometimes ma'irif goes first, like uparatz the yama v'kedma, and he says sonach yama. Lefamim yachdim tzav lekulon. Sometimes north is first, like it says. It brings the pasuk, "Sona necho re'im na markan shatasham tzafona." Umashi. So why so? That's a statement. Umashi is for Yaakov and Moshe Meruch Marav. The reason why by Yaakov mostly start with the west. Yitovu losis tam bazal shem ashchin is shodem Yaakov Mitzrayim. V'yidu akashchin be'mayrav. The shchin is a mayrav, and that's reflective of it. Gam bekan Moshe David chol ashchin aviske teimal anegba. In every single one of the ruchos, you have a part of Hashem's name. He says, what he told him to go up and to see, the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, he told him, look around at the entire structure of the world, there are four sides, go up a step and look at the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is four letters, and you will see that one is connected one. And you'll see that each one is connected the other one, connected one of the letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So you're telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to see the entire picture as it shtells to, as it parallels, as it mirrors HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. And now he's going to go into the names of each of these ruchos and explain what it's about. Each one of them, it has three names: Mizrach, Kedem, and Panim; Ma'ariv, Yam, and Ocher; V'chein Dorom, Negev, Yemin; V'chein Tzofon, Asten, Smol. Ubiyazer, Kinikra Ruach Mizrach Ken, Al Shem Shemeshom Zrichas Hashemesh. So east is called is east because the sun comes from the east. So the word Zorach, Mizrach, means Mokom Zricha. And generally speaking, in Lashon Kodesh, wherever you have a mem, like Mizbeach, is the Mokom Zvicha. Mitabach is the Mokom Tvicha. And modern Hebrew, Minchat is a landing pad. It's the Mokom Nechita. You know, that's a very, very common Hebrew thing. So Mizrach is the place where the Zvicha is. Bekedem, and it's called first, earliest, Kimosu Ruach Yak Mizrach. That's the first Zvicha of the Shemesh. Uponim, It's called Panim al Yitzirasa shel Adam shenivru Panav leMizachar leMayrav yimina leDarim uSmol leTzafon. And since a person created with his face to Mizrach and his back to Mayrav, that is the Tzos Adam. It's very, very interesting. We're used to maps. So by us, the maps are as if you're facing north and the east and west are right and left. That's if everybody, and there's no geography, you always picture yourself facing north, and yet the right-hand side is going to be the east and left-hand side the west and so on. If you take a look in Chumash, it says by Lot and Avram, he told him, Im Aimina Vasmila, Vime Smila Vaimina. If you will go right, I will go left. If you go left, I'll go right. And with the Targum says, Tzafon and Darom. Because in the Chumash's map, east is where you're facing. And therefore that makes north left and south the right. And that has many, many ramifications. The Chenik of Mayriv is called Mayriv al Shem Shkia Sachama. Because, Ashemesh, because that's where the sun sets. Shatsuros Misarvos Bosesha. When it becomes night, as the horizon darkens, the images of that you see in front of you blur and start becoming they start losing their resolution and they blur. So all the bushes blend into each other, the bushes and the trees blend into each other, and finally everything blends into each other. So it's called Ma'arav, Miloshen Erev, because Erev comes from the word Irbuv. It's where things become obfuscated and diffuse rather than crystallized and sharply in focus. The Yam, why is it called Yam Fishem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olam? That's easy. The Mediterranean is on the west side of Eretz Yisrael. The Targum Yam Achron, Yam Marva. The Ocher, and it's also called Ocher, Kineged Mizrach Nikas Panim. In Manashach, if we're facing the Mizrach, so this is the backside. Mizrach goes to be of Hen Kedem Ahalech Feinenu Ocher V'loi Avinloi. It says, I will walk, Kedem means towards Mizrach, and you're not there. I walk back towards Mayav, and I don't understand. So that's Mizrach, that's Mayav. Now Dorom and Tzafon. V'cheinik Dorom, L'fish HaShemesh Holech B'govei Shal Ruach. Punitrikun dar roim, oy derech rum rum. Also rum yadei nasa. So, in the Durham, you have the sun at its high peak, because it is the highest in the sky towards Durham, and therefore it's miloshin the word rum. Durham is like the from high miloshin rum yadei. V'negev. Why is it called Negev? Because it's a very dry wind, and that's why the Negev is to us is a very, very it's the dry area of Eretz Yisrael. The South Eretz Yisrael is dry; it's desert. The word Negev it means to dry up. And then he goes through. He says somebody left over a plate with something in the southern side of his house, and it melted. Just skim down. Okay, v'cheinik tzafon. Next paragraph. It's called tzafon. Al shem shashemesh tzafon misalim sham. The north is where the cold is, where the sun is least, and therefore it's where the sun is hidden. Shayruach mimashruachu ein bo yishuv. V'dorsh razal ruach tzfeinis einu mesuveves. Shema noitet tzofna al toihu. V'esta meloshe chazal edir b'tzad istan b'teasa b'targum kayetz v'chorev kitos stava. So Estan Stav, you know, Marivit Stav is fall, but in the Targum, Chorev is translated as Stav. V'yadua k'achorev z'man ha'gshamim. Ki ruach tzofen lach mo'ed v'gsham v'oin misham. Mitam zeh oma ha'kosov ruach tzofen t'chol geshem, because just like the south, because it's so dry and hot, doesn't allow for rain, the tzofen does. So he says that tzofen has in itself the quality of being hidden. It has itself, because the sun is hidden there, it's also the place where you get geshem from. We also want to say Esther's Lashon Refuah, because of Tzfonis. And that's why you needed to have Tzfonis. They couldn't mal the midbar. Let's just take a look, skim down. Let's take a look at the final paragraph. Vamar b'medrash, the next page. Adam Arishon mi-mizrach l'mayrav noitza. So Adam Arishon was created from mizrach to mayrav. Tanav l'mizrach achav l'mayrav, shenema achav v'kerem satani. Tzidah shay l'mizrach, the part of the person that faces east, where we said is a zricha, covered by me'oiris v'nikra panim v'kbe'ashemesh. So the person's face, which is what lights up, what sort of radiates a type of, it radiates ha'ara, that's panim. So the part of the person that faces the mizrach is the part that will radiate ha'ara. Tzidah shel ma'ariv, the backside of the person, nikra achar, k'neged achara chamesh v'oira. So when you look at a person's back and you talk to him, you can't see anything. There's nothing you could see there. It's all kind of sasim. The side that the sun uses most often as the strongest is called right. So understanding the different ruchos have in themselves qualities, they are miramis, their physical reality is miramis to the inner qualities that they have that plays out in ruchnius only. Okay, next one is Rabbeinu Bechaya speaking about, again, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I was not let in because you're covered and so on. He explains something. Ki lo yisabas yad nazer, afilu atz moysecha ein oivrin. So had Moshe Rabbeinu's bones been zerchu atzol, he should have made some tzavoy. He did not. V'hine Yaakov achut ha-mesholosh ba'olos ha-merkov zachov zechnik ba'aretz kufat Moshe. Yaakov was zeichem. Yosef loy zacha בגוף אל בעצמייסף. או מויסה גדול מכל לא בגוף אל עצמייסף. וירוץ מהקדוש ברוך הוא שלי קונסט. So he's bothered by a problem. Why not? Why? So the Rabbi Nochai explains, why not? והויה רוצוין הקדוש ברוך הוא שלי קונסט מויסף את ארץ הכבודן של ישראל שמייסף במדבר ולא נכס עצמייסף לארץ. So he says, it was meant to be a covenant for Kali Yisrael that Moshe Rabbeinu also didn't make it in, so everybody's not as bad as you could think they were. V'oid l'kvay kol oysen shemesu b'golos b'chutzlar, so it's a nafshon l'ashem shem b'yikre ha'gula. There's so many people that died in chutzlar, it's waiting for the gula. L'vaya sheyizka kol chiyas ha'mesen b'schus ha'rishkum imay. So it's a schus, you know, if Moshe Rabbeinu's getting up, you're going to get up with him and go. In the big picture, this is things that I've seen before in different places. A manhig's darga is measured with the people's darga. I think I mentioned before the famous thing someone asked one of the rabbonim, one of the great rabbonim, that when Mashiach comes and all the rabbonim will rise, where are they going to find enough kehillas to go around? So whoever it was answered, well, all the kehillas will also rise up to Chesed Meisim, so there'll be plenty of jobs for the Rabbanim. Jethro, what are you going to do with a Rav who gets up at Chesed Meisim, but as a kehillah doesn't? So he answered, a Rav whose kehillah doesn't get up at Chesed Meisim failed as a Rav, and he doesn't either deserve to get up at Chesed Meisim. He did not have to ask what happens if the kehillah gets up at Chesed Meisim, the Rav doesn't. That, I guess, he didn't entertain. But the point is, Moshe Rabbeinu's to leave Klal Yisrael leaderless in a matzav of Misa is also not good. and he needed to be able to do that, to be able to be with them, the Misa, so that lots of love would be together also. Let's see one more piece here. That's Arena Bechaya on Baltais Matigra. It says, you can't be Megarea, you can't be Moisif. So Rebbe Chaya says, "Lo tosif al adav shechem etzav eschon tigumenu yazir shalo yischakeim ha'adam al amitzus loma osa matshir Hashem Yisparach v'yachshav ka tosef zos ti avodas Hashem Yisparach l'kachom aloy tosifu ka tor yishleim etzich tosos megras chlamos v'gareya." So Rebbe Chaya says that he's bothered by a problem of why is there an iser of bal tosif. I understand Bal Tigra means you're doing less than HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked you to do, so that's not good. But if you're doing more, shouldn't that be like extra credit, or certainly not, should be benign, if anything? So he says here, a person should not be most of all mitzvahs, because he says, Kateru Shlema in Yitzir Tesef to Migras. I want to explain this point in two or three connections, because it's a point that in some ways is very significant today. First of all, when a person comes along and he adds to the Torah, if he's adding because the Torah is lacking, it's one thing if a person adds because he's weak. And the Torah says, you know, I'll eat chaza, and I know that if I walk by a store that sells chaza, I'm going to get caught up. So I make on myself a get it not to walk past the store. That's perfectly permissible. It's recommended. Because I'm not saying the Torah is deficient. I'm saying that I have an idea and I need to reinforce it. But if a person were to say, well, the Torah doesn't say anything about this, but I think it's important. So Lamar, let's say the Torah says, it doesn't mention anything about doing X, Y, or Z, and I come along and I say, okay, let's add that as a mitzvah. So there's a certain sense that you're sort of saying the Torah is deficient. You're saying the Torah is not good enough because the Torah didn't answer it. I'm answering it because I'm better. So automatically there's some sort of zilzul in Kvod Shamayim by saying that I'm better and I'm adding something to it. There's another, a deeper nekuda in a word that he's using over here about shleimus. There are things in the world that are measured by quantity. So 10 pounds of meat is more than 5 pounds of meat. You can also say 10 pounds of meat is better to have than 5 pounds, because I can always pick the 5 pounds I want out of 10 pounds. If an extra guest comes, you can get that. If a piece of meat got spoiled, if the cat snatched one, there's no way I can make an argument that 10 pieces of meat is not as good as 5 pieces of meat. There's b'chamasai mana, and over there, 10 would never be better than 5. But let's say I'm making some sort of delicacy, and it calls for 1/3 pound of beef. And I say, well, if 1/3 of pound of beef is good, imagine a whole pound of beef. But no, because a stew is a balance, and you might end up destroying the balance of the texture, the flavor, whatever it is. So there are things that are measured in quantity. There are things that are measured in shleimus. In other words, I need different elements to give it its final tzura. That's what I need to have. So over there, if I'm being moisiv, I'm always being migareya, because the shleimus of something means it's a perfect balance. If I take a company that works at maximum efficiency with 100 employees, and I add 50 employees, I will be detracting from the efficiency of the company. That's what I'm going to be doing, because it's going to be more clumsy. If it can run with 100, adding to that is going to take away to it. Torah is a davar shleim, and if a person adds in yanim, then you're destroying something. Then by definition, you're upsetting something and you're spoiling something. So the issue of Altais and Altigra, there's a video from Rabbeinu Nissim that he says, I was mate what you asked, and I asked what you were mate. So the first half is very simple, why need a vidic? I mean, being mate what you asked is the root of all others. But why asking what you're mate is a problem? And the answer is because there's a, like I said before, there's a sense where I'm saying a Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't do a good job. You need to add things. Two, you're unbalancing it. The muscle. The Torah said there are 8 days of Yom Tov during the year. So that means there are 300 X amount of days of work and 8 days of Yom Tov. If I mess with that, so I'm changing the Tayyat Surah, and I'm redefining the boundaries of work and Shabbos, and then I might be doing wrong. So anytime, you know, there's a big move, people add, they like to add mitzvahs. So they have mitzvah day, and you have this, and environment, and so on and so forth. And there's a sense where, what am I doing wrong? I'm only adding things. The things that we're doing is not a virus. The things that we're doing is not taking away from anything. We're just adding more mitzvahs. So what's the problem? The answer is, if you're doing it because you need to be a nice person, you need to, it's fine. But if you're doing it because you think and understand that has to be incorporated into the world of mitzvahs, then in a certain sense, you're distorting the mitzvahs. Okay, we'll hold it here. So you'll have the case next 2 weeks. Next week, I'm going up for Adi's wedding.